Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I have, it's kind of like a brain paradox going on in my brain. You see, I got an email over the weekend from one of the listeners out there. This guy's name is Daniel, and he, from time to time, sends me emails that it just really make my mind think. I mean, he's a real estate investor, and I've gotten to know him because he listens to the show. And one of the neat things about Daniel is that, you know, he has a curiosity, so to speak, as to investing and how investing can be linked to other types of human behavior. Well, what kind of human behavior am I talking about? Well, I'm actually talking about gambling. I mean, he brought it up. He basically said, you know, there are a lot of comparisons between investing and gambling. And to be honest with you, I think he's got something going here. I really do. You know, I found a quote by a gentleman named Paul Samuelson. This is a gentleman who was an economist. He lived from 1915 to 2009. I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of stuff on him that I'll tell you as we go through the show. But he made a quote back in the day that really got Daniel thinking. And when Daniel gets thinking, I get thinking. And here's the quote. He says, "Investing should be dull." That's how the quote starts out. Investing should be dull. It shouldn't be exciting. Investing should be more like watching paint dry or grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas. It's not easy to get rich in Las Vegas or at Churchill Downs or the local Merrill Lynch office. Yeah. That's what Paul Samuelson said. Now, let me give you some background on this guy, because when I started digging into who he was, I actually became kind of impressed with what he did while he was on this planet. You know, Paul Samuelson had a tremendous influence on the ideas of economics. Samuelson is considered one of the founders of the neo-Keynesian economics and a seminal figure in the development of neoclassical economics. Yeah, I know, I just threw a bunch out at you. You know, if you've ever studied economics in high school or college, you know that there are many, many, many different approaches to economics. Everything from, you know, the far left to the far right and everything in between. They're all out there. And Samuelson was a proponent of a type of economics that, to be honest with you, I think the Trump administration is putting into play. I really do. But I'm not trying to turn this into a discussion on economics. What I'm really trying to do is just get your brain going on Monday. Let's get back to Samuelson. He was the first American to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences all the way back in 1970. The Swedish Royal Academy stated when they awarded him the prize that he had, quote, "has done more than any other contemporary economist to raise the level of scientific analysis in economic theory." And I'll tell you what, if you read his books, you realize that he goes real heavy into the math when he is explaining his concepts of economics. There's a economic historian out there by the name of Randall Parker, and he calls Samuelson the father of modern economics. And the New York Times considered him to be the foremost academic economist of the 20th century. In addition to his Nobel Prize, in 1996, Samuelson was awarded the National Medal of Science, considered to be America's top science honor. And he also authored the largest selling economics textbook of all time, entitled Economics, An Introductory Analysis. You know, this thing was first published all the way back in 1948, and it has been used consistently throughout time because he makes some very profound arguments. And there are, you know, professors out there that want to continue to share his work. Samuelson had a profound effect on the investing world. Back in 1965, he wrote a paper published in a publication called Industrial Management Review. And in that paper, he basically described that market prices are the best estimate of value. So essentially what he's saying is that let the market decide what the value of an asset should be, whether it's a house, whether it's a stock, whatever it might be, maybe it's even gold and silver. Let the market decide. Let the people engaged in trading in those markets determine what the price values are. So let me go back to that quote again, because really that quote is really what got my juices flowing today. Investing should be dull. It shouldn't be exciting. Investing should be more like watching paint dry or grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas. It's not easy to get rich in Las Vegas at Churchill Downs or at the local Merrill Lynch office. And on today's show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explore this particular statement. And I'll tell you what, if you've got an opinion about investing versus gambling or anything along those lines, give me a call at 855-497-4335. Again, that number is 855-497-4335, or you can shoot me an email at askal@luinc.com.
Doe Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
Guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego, to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So, you know, Daniel sent me an email, and he was quoting a gentleman by the name of Paul Moore, who published a fairly lengthy article on bigger pockets. And the concept of the article really was a discussion between investment versus speculation. And the article was essentially saying, well, at least what Paul Moore was saying, was that if you're investing correctly in real estate, and even if you make some mistakes, real estate is much more forgiving. You can absorb some mistakes in real estate and come out just fine versus other types of investing. And he was pointing out some things that he did with starting businesses that had nothing to do with real estate and also investing in the stock market. And he found that investing that way was speculative. It really was. Now, the article makes two points, and I'm going to share these points with you because I think Paul Moore is onto something. He says, if you've done a thorough evaluation and you're reasonably sure your principal is safe and you have a chance to make a profit, he determines that you are investing. But he goes on to say this. He says, if you're investing in an asset that has an uncertain protection of principal and you have a chance to make a profit, then you're speculating. See, I think in the first analysis, he's basically saying, you know, if you're involved with an asset like real estate and you're invested correctly and that asset is paying you five different ways, even if the market fluctuates on you, you still have a very stable investment versus maybe investing in the stock market where you make a decision to put capital into play, either investing in an actual stock, which, you know, essentially you're buying ownership shares or interest in that particular company, or maybe you're doing mutual funds or index funds, in which case you're buying shares of a bunch of fractional ownership pieces in a bunch of different companies. And you may not even know which companies you're investing in because you're investing essentially in those shares. And you are, you know, you're letting the so-called experts control the investment. And I think what Paul Moore is suggesting here is that that is much more speculative. Now, and I just got to go back to the Samuelson quote because, you know, this is an interesting concept. And the way he phrases the quote really gets me thinking. He says, investing should be dull. It shouldn't be exciting. Well, that pretty much sums up my experience in real estate investing. I mean, it's not super flashy. You know, it's not something that I jump up and down about. My resident pays the monthly rent. Okay, that's actually a very good thing. And then I make the supplemental payments associated with that asset. Whatever's left over is my passive income. I mean, it's kind of exciting. I mean, it's good to know that money's there, but it's not something like, you know, going to the horse races and deciding which horse is going to win the race. And then when they start the race, all of a sudden, randomness is definitely in play. You don't know what's going to happen when those horses are going down the track. And, you know, you build up this level of excitement, you know, and maybe your horse wins and maybe your horse doesn't. But I think in that particular instance, what you're essentially doing is you're not investing your money in something. You're speculating on an outcome of something. And that outcome is, you know, creating the excitement factor in your, you know, you're either going to make money, you're not going to make money. And it's all over pretty darn quick. It is. It's all over pretty darn quick. So Samuelson says investing should be more like watching paint dry or grass grow. And if you want excitement, take $800, go to Las Vegas. It is not easy to get rich in Las Vegas, which is true, or Churchill Downs, which is true. And then he goes on to say, or at your local Merrill Lynch office. So what Samuelson is implying is that stock speculation is just indeed that. It is essentially speculation. You are putting money into the stock market or into a mutual fund or wherever you're putting your money into, and you're banking on the fact that that value of that stock or that mutual fund is going to go up. And I think this quote mainly applies more to millennials than any other generation. And here's why. Millennials have become so accustomed to instant gratification that they only perceive the short-term returns of an investment rather than the long-term analysis. You know, this goes on to disenfranchise many people from investing, especially in the younger generations, as they really just don't see the value as worthwhile. Investing is more apt as watching paint dry. It's a long process that over time has lasting and impactful results. Granted, it is not to be said that you should avoid risk altogether. But if that is all you're after, then maybe Las Vegas is more the place for you. I mean, think about it. You know, because if you're going to gamble with your hard-earned money, I mean, you have, I think the biggest question you have to ask yourself is, how important is that seed money? How important is that capital that you're going to put into play? And, you know, one of the things that we believe is that when you invest, you don't lose money. You don't go into investments with the potential to lose money. Now, could you potentially lose money? Yes, you potentially can lose money in any type of investment. I mean, let me be very, very clear with you there. But when you are properly educated, when you understand the asset class that you're investing in, when you understand the mechanics of the investment, and in the case of real estate, when you understand that you can put your money to work for you and leverage that money, bring on a partner called a bank or, you know, some other lending institution, and you are operating a business, because that rental property that you buy is essentially a business, and you manage that asset correctly, and even if the market value goes down a little bit on that asset, it isn't a case where you need to sell, because you can still operate that asset. And it's really a cool thing. So we come back, I'm going to get into this gambling stuff, because having been born in Vegas, I want to share some info.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
The phone lines are open if you'd like to call in at 855-497-4335. Again, that number is 855-497-4335. Or if you prefer, go ahead and shoot me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. If you choose to email me, I've got my email open right now. I'd be more than happy to try and keep an eye on it. Or if you just have, you know, a comment you want to leave me or whatever, feel free to. I answer everything in person. I don't have anybody on my team that answers on my behalf. So anything you send me, I'm going to respond to, and we'll just take it from there. So what I'm doing today is I'm working on stimulating your mind with regards to the concept of investing. And there was a economist that passed away in 2009. His name was Paul Samuelson. And he had a tremendous influence on the idea of economics. I mean, he really did. And, you know, he won a Nobel Prize. He had all kinds of accolades and things like that. And one of the things that he argued was he felt that investing in the stock market wasn't necessarily the best way to go, or that if you did invest in the stock market, there were potentially better ways for you to do it. And I'm going to get into some of that stuff in a little bit. But what I want to do right now is I want to address this concept of investing versus gambling. Yeah, there are people out there that think that investing in any form is essentially gambling. They're afraid of it. They don't want to deal with it. And I understand some of the reasons for that. I really do. But let's go ahead and define what gambling really is. Gambling is staking something on a contingency. You know, it's betting, it's wagering, whatever it is. It means you are risking money on an event that has an uncertain outcome and heavily involves chance. Think about it. I mean, for all of you that have been to Vegas or Reno or Atlantic City or any of the numerous places across America now where you can go gamble, that's what you're doing. That's essentially what you're doing. And I've got a little bit of experience with this. Not that I'm a heavy gambler, because I am absolutely not a heavy gambler. I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, I joke around that I say, you know, I was born with a slot machine handle in one hand and a paradise in the other hand. Yeah, which is not true. Not true at all. But one of the things that I learned growing up in Las Vegas was that the gambling industry is not built on winners. It's not. And I used to tell all of my friends when I was in college that wanted to go to Las Vegas to go have a good time, one simple statement: walk to anywhere on the strip, or even downtown, it doesn't matter where you go, and go to the center of the street. And then as you stand on the median, because most of those streets have medians in between them, kind of do a 360 turn and take everything in and ask yourself this one question: who's paying the bills? Who is paying for all of those lighted marquees? Who is paying for that glitter and that glamour that you're experiencing? And the answer is this: it's not the winners. There are people that win in gambling, but there are so many more that don't. You know, like investors, gamblers must also carefully weigh the amount of capital they want to put into play. In some card games, pot odds are a way of assessing your risk capital versus your risk reward. You know, the amount of money you call a bet compared to what is already in the pot. I mean, you see this in poker all the time. If the odds are favorable, the player is more likely to call the bet. Most professional gamblers are quite proficient at risk management. They research player and team history, or maybe a horse's bloodlines and track records. They seek an edge in their bet. You know, card players typically look for cues from the other players at the table. Whether you're playing poker, whether you're playing blackjack, whether you're playing baccarat, it doesn't matter. And I'll be honest with you, great poker players can remember what their opponents wagered 20 hands back. I mean, those people study and pay attention and mentally record everything, and they use that information to make decisions going forward. You know, they also study the mannerisms and betting patterns of their opponents with the hope of gaining additional useful information. And you know what the professional players are looking for? They're looking for suckers. They really are. They're looking for people to just go in that they can take advantage of. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, in casino gambling, the bettor is playing against the house. In sports gambling, in lotteries too, which are two of the most common gambling activities in which an average person engages, bettors are in a sense betting against each other, because the number of players helps determine the actual odds. In horse racing, betting is actually a wager against other bettors. You see, what the house does is they adjust the odds on each horse, and that's determined by the amount of money bet on that horse, and constantly change up those numbers until the race actually starts. Same thing with sports betting. I mean, you know, if you like to bet on football games, or you're betting on the World Series, that's how the odds are generated. So if more money goes on one team, the odds are adjusted to attract more money to the other team. Yeah, it's just the way it is. And generally, the odds in all cases are stacked against you as the gambler. The probability of losing an investment is usually higher than the probability of winning more than the investment. A gambler's chances of making a profit can also be reduced if they have to put up additional amounts of money beyond their bet, also referred to as points, which is kept by the house whether the bettor wins or it loses. Yeah, that's the way it is. And points are comparable to the broker commissions on trading fees an investor pays. That's the way I see it. Now, if you're just curious about the odds in Vegas, I went out and I looked at a bunch of different websites to see what Vegas is paying right now. And everything that I found indicates that you're at a disadvantage as a bettor, as a gambler. For instance, if you're playing blackjack, the average house edge is not a lot, but it's 1% to 2%. So you think about it, you go into placing a blackjack bet with the odds slightly against you. And, you know, if you're playing at a table with other people, the decisions that those people make in holding, hitting, folding, whatever they're going to do can impact your play. Craps, house edge, about 1.5% to 5%. Roulette, about 2.8% for a table with a single zero, and it doubles to 5.2 for a table with a double zero. Slots, don't play the slots. House edge, 3% to 20%, and it goes on and on. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get back into Samuelson's ideas right after this.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So, on today's show, by the way, it's open if you'd like to call in. You can give me a call at 855-497-4335. Again, that number, 855-497-4335. And what I'm doing is I'm looking at a quote that was penned a long time ago by a gentleman that passed away in 2009. His name is Paul Samuelson. And this guy was an economist. He was a very good economist. He won the Nobel Prize. He won some other accolades. He's been written about by a lot of people that either agree with his concepts or they don't agree. And that's just the way it is. But he made this statement. He said, investing should be dull. It shouldn't be exciting. Investing should be more like watching paint dry or grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas. It's not easy to get rich in Las Vegas at Churchill Downs or at the local Merrill Lynch office. And what Samuelson is conveying to you is that if you're investing correctly in assets that are growing and providing you good returns, you're doing things the correct way. Can you get excited every once in a while? Sure you can. I mean, I owned several duplexes, all of which have closed escrow. So when the third of three finally closed escrow, you know what I did? I took my wife out to dinner. We had a nice little dinner to celebrate that event. Now, we had owned that particular property for 21 years. And during that 21 years, that investment was pretty dull. It was kind of like watching paint dry or grass grow. You know, even when we did rehabs of that particular property, we weren't doing the work. We had somebody else that was better qualified to do it, do the work. And when we operated the properties, it wasn't a whole lot of woohoo. You know, the residents paid their rent when they were supposed to. We made the associated payments. to operate that property. You know, we paid the mortgage. We made sure the taxes and insurance were paid. We took care of any maintenance concerns that needed to be done. Wasn't super exciting, you know. I mean, it wasn't like going to Las Vegas. And I lived in Las Vegas as a young boy. I mean, actually, I grew up in Las Vegas. I actually went to the original Las Vegas High School, which, you know, is still downtown, but they don't call it Las Vegas High School anymore because they built a new high school way on the far east side of Las Vegas, and they named that Las Vegas High School. So I don't know why I went down that rabbit hole, but I did. But here's the thing. I think Samuelson makes some good points. And I think that there are folks out there that look at investing more like it's got to have some kind of pizzazz to it. It's got to get your juices flowing. You know, I would say that, you know, one of the forms of quote unquote investing that are out there that maybe has that effect are people that are day trading. I mean, you've got to be engaged to be a day trader. And no matter how good your research is, you may lose a bet, so to speak. You may lose a wager. You may not be able to acquire or dispose of a stock that you were speculating on in a timely manner. Somebody may beat you to it, or there may be another stakeholder out there that does something that adversely affects your play. It's just the way it is. You know, I equate day trading to, well, going to Vegas. I really do, because you're speculating on an outcome. And even in Vegas, you can do a lot of research. You can learn how the game is played. You can learn how the odds essentially work, but you still go into that event with an edge against you. And that's just the way it is. So let me give you a couple of other quotes that Samuelson came up with, because I think they're kind of interesting. He said, there are very few people or organizations who have any presumptive edge over low-cost, no-load set of indices, particularly on a risk-corrected basis. He said, people used to say that you're settling for mediocrity. Isn't it interesting that the best brains on Wall Street can't achieve mediocrity? And essentially what he was arguing at that time was he felt that the stock market was imbalanced, that when you invest in the stock market or even into, you know, mutual funds or indices or things like that, you're still paying commissions, you're still paying fees. And what he was arguing was that there should just be an indice out there that is low or no cost with no load associated with it. You know, Samuelson proved that informationally efficient markets implied random price behavior and believed that very few investors could actually beat the market. And motivated by a study of the dismal performance of managed money, Samuelson was the first to advocate the creation of a low-cost stock index fund, and his writing spurred a gentleman by the name of Jack Bogle to create the S&P 500 Index Trust. You know, Samuelson ultimately believed that beating the market is hard, but he admitted it's not impossible. Just like going to Vegas and winning it's hard, but it's not impossible. Samuelson also went on to say a couple of other things that I thought were pretty provocative. So let me just share them with you. He said, a respect for evidence compels me to incline toward the hypothesis that most portfolio decision makers should go out of business. They should take up plumbing, teach Greek, or help produce the annual GNP by serving as corporate executives. Even if this advice to drop dead is good advice, it obviously is not counsel that will be eagerly followed. He said, few people will commit suicide without a push. And so what he's saying there is that even the so-called experts, they may be closer to an expert than you are, but they don't know all the nuances of what is going on in every particular company that's out there. They really don't. It's you know, it's difficult to measure, because I mean, even if you look at like the S&P 500, think about it. There's a lot of companies that are analyzed that make up that S&P 500. And the index manager can move companies out and move companies in, and that affects the indices. So it's the way it is. Now, Samuelson went on to say a couple of other things. He said, I don't believe we're converging on ever improving forecasting accuracy. Yeah, that was his belief. You know, even in today's computer generated models for stock market investing, it's still garbage in, garbage out. So the market is going to do what the market is going to do, regardless of what you choose to do in the market. And that's just the way it is. And that's part of the reason that I don't invest in the stock market. I just feel that there is a big lack of controls out there. And here's the last quote I have from Samuelson. He said, you shouldn't spend much time on your investments. That will just tempt you to pull up your plants and see how the roots are doing. And that's very bad for the roots. It's also very bad for your sleep. So I think what he's implying there is when you make sound investments, and you make sound investments into assets that are considered longer term plays, like real estate is, don't mess around with it. Don't keep tickering with it. Once you have made your decision to go forward and acquire an asset and then to rehabilitate that asset and put that asset back on the market for rent for a family that absolutely needs and wants clean workforce housing, you will find that family, you will get them into a business relationship called a lease, and you will enjoy the benefits that that asset produces for you. So in the end, I think Daniel's right. I think that investing in real estate is one of the best decisions that you can make for your financial future. And if you want to find out how, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.